Hey, what it do, people? It's your man Animal Brown checking in. Listen, nigga, we made it. Episode 300, all right? 6 years in these podcast books. We made it. Now, I promised y'all that I would have information about a certain celebration going down to commemorate this milestone, all right? So, here it is. Cut the music off for a second. Listen up. Live podcast On Deck TV, myself, Spike Lou, M Extra, is going down Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, June 15th. All right, 615. You see what we did there? Shout out to Cashville. It's going to be at 3 o'clock. That's when the doors are going to open. Now, the show starts promptly at 3:30. Promptly at 3:30. All right, so be there. We're going to do a live show. After that, we're going to kick it. We're going to mix. We're going to mingle. All right, we're going to meet, we're going to greet. The music playing, it's going to be a good time. You're going to have something to sip on. You're going to have something to snack on. Don't worry about that. We're going to take care of you. Now, how do you get in? How do I get to this, Animal Brown, you ask? Simple. We are sending out invites. This is invite only. All right, it's top-notch shit going on here, and we can't invite everyone. They just don't have a space big enough for that until we do Phillips, all right? Weird flex, but okay, I'm going to keep it moving. Now, what's going to happen? We're going to send out invites to those in the Atlanta area. Now, if you're like, yo, I'm not in the Atlanta area, but I still want to come, that's cool. All you got to do is hit us up either on either one of these DMs, either one of these emails, ondecktv@gmail.com. You can go to Facebook. There's a zillion ways to reach people in 2019. Y'all know how to get at us, and we'll send you an invite. It's that simple. But here's the thing. You have to click the link on the invite and RSVP. If you don't, the seats are going to be gone, and you're going to be left standing outside, and it's going to be whack. We want you to be inside kicking it with us, okay? Again, invite only. All you got to do is reach out to us. We will send you an invite, RSVP, so we can get the head count, okay? It's that simple. This one's on the house, all right? We are showing love to our own deckers, to the ATL people and surrounding areas, and whoever else wants to come in. We know we got love in a whole bunch of other cities, okay? But we're doing something special for the A. Please come kick it with us. Have a good time June 15th, all right? We're going to keep saying this until the seats fill up. Now, let me play the music again. This episode, we're talking about the DJ Khaled 11th album, Father of Assad, okay? And it is brought to you by Beard Organics. Shout out to our friends at Beard Organics, man. They are a company that provides handcrafted beard oil products, if I can say it right. They're committed to producing the best pure and natural grooming products. It's all organic, people. It's in the name, Beard Organics. 100% natural shit. We are fucking with it. It smells delicious. My beard looks amazing right now because of it, all right? Now, you use offer code ONDECKTV, you get 10% off your whole damn order. It's a minimum of $4.99. ONDECKTV is the code, 10% off your order. Go get to that, man, beardorganics.com. And finally, this episode is also brought to you by Realville Media Group. Do me a favor. Go to realvillemedia.com. Check out all of the podcasts on the network.
All of the podcasts consist of the Full Sport Press podcast. We got Jeff, we got J-Hove, and we got How Weezy over there. Shout out to the FSP cameraman. They gave you episode 271, 2019 NBA Draft Lottery winners and losers. Y'all go check the good guys out over there at FSP, and remember to tell a friend about FSP. All right, next, Fresh for Dummies podcast. Y'all go check out the Fresh for Dummies podcast. J-Hove and Animal Brown giving you the latest and greatest in fashion. Y'all go check out Fresh for Dummies. Get your fashion tips from those guys. Everything brought to you by the Realville Media Group. Go to realvillemedia.com. Check out the Realville Media YouTube page. Check out the FSP YouTube page. That's brand new. Check out the On Deck TV YouTube page. And enjoy the show.
What it do, what the business is.
It's another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown. This ain't just any other week.
It ain't just another week in the books.
Episode 300.
Book getting thick out here.
That's a fact, though.
In these streets, man.
Man, holla at your boy Animal_Brown if you're looking for me on social media.
I am Spike Lou on the Instagrams and the Tweet Streets.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you guys joining us for three Tweet Streets. That's the new streets, the tweets.
Absolutely not.
That's what people be now, on the tweets.
Producer M Extra, who are you?
It's your boy M Extra Spinach. You already know how it goes down for this 300 extra episode, man. Let's get it, man. M Extra Produce in the building.
Oh, my God. He kicked it with two. Not one, but two.
Thanks, M Extra Mayo.
Appreciate it. Wop, wop. What you have on deck for the weekend, bro?
Weekend was slow motion. Game of Thrones finale, man. We here to talk about it.
No, we're not.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Y'all knew y'all were going to hear it here. I ain't as mad as other people are about it, you know. I feel like the books are going to give a lot more detail to what we're looking for. But, I mean, it was what it was. I'm not mad I wasted 8 years or anything like that.
Where does it rank at the end of the day? Is it top five?
It's top five series. And they literally could have showed a blank screen for an hour in the last episode. It's probably still been in the top five.
So you were biased.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
For sure.
That answers that question.
And they top five all the time, so I would give them that. I'm not that mad about it. Also, we got the things printed up this weekend for the flyers and stuff like that. And I sent an early one out to a couple of my buddies. You know, I make sure that they're going to get it early. They're going to be here.
For sure.
Nigga responded and said, he said, damn, man, I ain't know y'all recorded with Marcus Houston now.
You really gonna say that,
yeah. That was part of my weekends.
Man, he just gave Marcus Houston a lot of credit. Shit. Nigga wished to be this handsome.
I wish. That was a good
Marcus Houston. I still got all my hair, goddamn. Fuck you, man.
Young Batman. Oh, shit. But yeah, that was my weekend, man. What'd you have up? Did you go see Avengers Endgame again?
Absolutely not.
Quadrupled it.
Right.
Don't think I won't, though. I chilled out. I ain't do much of shit. What did I watch? I watched a movie. I was bored as fuck at the crib. Have y'all watched Olympus Is Down?
Has Fallen.
Olympus Has Fallen. Uh-huh. Have y'all watched it?
I have not.
Fire.
I think I seen one of them, but I don't think
Fire.
I seen
Fire.
It is.
Y'all fuck with that on Netflix. I'm
you
calling
gonna see
it
John
now.
Wick?
Nah, I need to, though. I'm going to fuck with that John Wick.
I love John Wick. I'm definitely going to see
it. I got
to
catch up on them John Wicks.
Oh, man.
I ain't been able
John
to
Wick
catch
is fire.
Those.
Twin, what you have up, man?
Friday, I got up with Bird and Dion and Weezy.
Shout out to
the camp. Where Dion stopped in for a second, had me at the hoodest cigar bar on Old National I will never go to again.
That's funny.
I could imagine you in a hood cigar bar.
I love ratchet spots, but I'm selective. Yeah,
as you should be.
From Decatur, nigga. Yeah, I love ratchet spots. All right,
come on.
Saturday, kicked it with the twin, my brother, day drinking, and I was out for the count when I got back home.
Do you guys call each other twin?
No.
Okay.
That'd be weird as fuck.
Hey, twin, what's up?
About this 300 episode, this 300 celebration that we got going on, again, guys, we're going to be sending out the links. We're going to be sending out the invites. If you want an invite, hit us up. First come, first serve with the seats. When the RSVPs are gone, it's a wrap. That's it.
A rental.
You have to catch the next 300 episode.
Yeah. And like you said in the intro, at the bigger spot, we wanted to make this intimate. We wanted to make this with the people who have been building with us. And we also wanted to show some other people what we're all about and building for the future. So, you know, we couldn't make it for everybody. We had to make it limited edition. But the next one will be open to the public. With that being said, if you do get an invite, act on it quickly to make sure you get your spot.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. Coming off
swag
like that,
and merch dude. Coming soon for it too. But if you're not able to be there, you can get you some swag.
There you go.
Put that on the site.
We're gonna make it happen.
Yep.
All right, now we got a lot to talk about this week, man. DJ Khaled dropped. We're gonna
Father
do
of a side.
A nice review for DJ Khaled. We'll see if it's a hit or a miss. But before that, we've got some topics to speak on. First things first. So we had a full weekend of drops.
Yeah.
But arguably Finally. None hotter than young Megan Thee Stallion.
Real hot girl shit going down.
Her album Fever debuted at number 3 on the Apple Music charts. She graced the cover of Fader and has had sold out shows daily for the past couple of weeks.
It's time.
My question is, Lou, do you see Meg's success holding up long term?
100%. I think Meg the Stallion's energy is unmatched, especially right now in this dead period. With that being said, I don't think that it would take away if other artists were out. I think that she has a personality. I think that she has everything that you're looking for as far as charisma. She can rap. And she cares. She's one of the few artists now that, okay, she rap about the bag. She like a city girl on steroids. Like if a city girl had like a Mia X gangsta boo type flow that was really serious about bars, then you would have Meg Thee Stallion 2019. I think that's afforded her to be taken seriously by males who are like kind of snobby. Oh, she can't rap. You can't say that about her. But also she has a personality where females gravitate to her. They're not like turned off like they are maybe by Nicki or Cardi. Those two ladies have very divisive personalities. I think that Meg is very inviting. You know what I'm saying? Like, she ain't really, like, turning her nose up at too much stuff. And I think that she's all about having fun. People want to have fun in 2019. People ain't behind the beef and the things like that. So I think that she's here for a long time because she most deservingly so takes pride in what she does. And not a lot of artists in her category do so now.
Yeah. No, that's a fact.
She likes to rap. You can tell.
And I say this. Shout out to my people, man, Johnny. She put me on Meg about a year ago. She's been talking about her for about a year strong. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about her for probably since the beginning of the year when we did our freshman class prediction. I said that she was a lock, a shoe-in. This was months ago.
You mean you start talking about it when she got hot?
No.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
No, I saw it around the corner as I do a lot of things on this show. Now, the question, do I see long-term success in her future? I do. I watched a couple of the documentaries. She's got a documentary on Fader that's available on YouTube. She also's got a couple of Hottie. She calls them Hottie somethings, a couple of documentaries. I mean, it's about 6 or 7 parts. I watched a few of those. You get an idea of her personality. I'm the type of person, I listen to somebody's music. Okay, cool, I fuck with them, him, her. What do they do outside of the booth? What is their personality like? Do they take themselves too seriously? Can they joke? Can they relax?
And you like Kanye?
Yes, absolutely.
That's crazy.
And so I'm here for Meg's personality, like you said. She was in school earlier this year. She doesn't come off like as a one-trick pony, so to speak. She seems very well-rounded, very humble. She still gets excited when she's around other artists in the studio. She said she looked up to Juicy J. She got excited, you know, just from a fan's perspective. That's always respectable. Now, here's my thing, though. I will say there's always a thing. I think she handled the ghostwriting allegations incorrectly, though. If y'all didn't see over the weekend, there was a young lady who had put an Instagram post up that said that she was proud to be a part of the project, and she wanted to thank Juicy J for allowing her to be a part of the project, and she had the handwriting emoji on the post in regards to the song Simon Says. And so, of course, what the internet does, they automatically draw the connection that, oh, she's got the handwriting thing, she must be writing for Megan Thee Stallion, when in actuality, she collabed with Juicy J on the hook. And then Juicy took the hook and performed it on Megan's thing. Megan didn't know that and went back at her like, ain't nobody writing my shit, ain't nobody writing my shit. And to me, she jumped off the edge a little too soon. Nah. And she's going to have thicker skin in this industry if she wants to have a long career.
Incorrect. She handled it correctly. And the reason being, she has to let it be known that she's not to be fucked with out here.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, this chick can write that stuff right there, and she can clarify, hey, I worked with Juicy J on the hook. I didn't write any bars for Megan Thee Stallion. But no, she want to be shady. She want to allude to, I did this, put the little handwriting emoji. Maybe she can get on Shade Room. Maybe she don't just want to be a writer. She wants to be a rapper like Meg. So she put that bullshit post. I think Meg did the correct thing, especially with the energy that she has. Like, she don't have, oh, I'm going to be passive energy and just let her get off with it. That wouldn't fit within her brand. I think her brand is to squash shit like that because she takes rap serious, and rap needs something. Rap, especially in her lane where she is, I think they need something like that.
Yeah. I thought the album was fire, though. Yeah.
Album fire.
I think it got some bangers on it.
Yeah. I think the girl eventually said she wasn't talking about, she wasn't referring to the verses.
She should have said that.
No, she was talking about the hook.
Yeah, but she should have said that at the beginning.
No, the
though.
Internet doesn't need to run with shit. Clara, she specifically thanked Juicy J for letting her be a part of the record. Juicy J did the hook.
But you pump faking, though. Quit acting like, you know, like in 2019, people don't have the luxury anymore of saying, oh, I was hacked. Oh, I didn't know that it would turn out this way. Man, you put something on social media, the thought process of people now is you thought about this, you put it out there because you know how it's going to respond. You know TMZ going to pick it up. You know Shade Room is going to pick it up. So clarify yourself. Yeah. Like, don't act like you wrote this verse for me. I don't think it ain't cool.
I don't think the girl meant any harm.
She probably didn't either.
But I don't, go ahead. I just don't want it to overshadow this amazing project that Megan put out. Shout out to the artwork, too. We don't talk about artwork much in this space and time, but
the new
Black exploitation.
Yeah, that was hard. It was like Foxy Brown.
Okay. Gotcha.
Homage to that. So that was really dope. She starts off with a banger, and it's a little long for me, but overall, it's a very, very good project.
No, I'm not going to lie. It's a dope summer project. Yeah. I think it dropped at the perfect time. A
lot of bops.
A lot of whatever bops are. but it's good workout shit. It's good club. I can only imagine what a lot of these joints are going to sound like in a lounge club type setting. I think she's got the material to go along with it. But she got the... Bro, you can't be. She jumped the gun with the whole Ghost Ranger. Like people, she let the fans gas that, which is what happens a lot of times. Like a lot of times, people will say something, and you'll be like, oh, okay. But then, like three or four of your partners say something about it, and then now you don't let it gas you, and now it feels different because you think people are looking at you a certain way.
I think you're taking a little.
She went on a whole IG live rant. I watched it.
Yeah, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, nobody gives a damn about it. They're not gonna care. Because she's everywhere. She's on the fader, like you said. She got this doc. She's everywhere.
Yeah, no.
Shout out to her marketing.
I like cash shit with the baby.
Yeah, that's your
heart. Baby is shining right now.
Yeah he's cooking too.
He's
cooking.
He in his bag. He ripping that, so.
Shout out Megan Thee Stallion in his bay. All right. Moving on. Let's take it down to Atlanta. YFN Lucci. Man, now, this crazy shit been popping off, man. A string of shootings have been going on here in Atlanta, specifically targeting artists. Now, YFN Lucci's G-Wagon was shot up while at the studio. Then last week, the same thing happened to Offset. My question is, how can rappers be more careful in this scenario?
Being more careful, I don't really know if there's a way to move in 2019 where people put themselves and their locations out so much. So I think being more careful would mean being less visible, and being less visible causes you to lose real estate and rap. So you can't actually move and do your studio, your house, and mail your verses everywhere and be on no recluse shit. Because people gonna forget about you. In certain instances, though, I think that people know with the YFN Lucci shit, with the Dolph shit, with the shit where it leads to actual violence.
Right.
I don't think that that's rap stuff. I don't think that that's stuff that rappers are having to protect themselves from. I don't think that, because of the profession that these guys are in, specifically, I'm talking about YFN and Young Thug, that this is happening to them. I think that they got beef beyond that. The same thing that I say about Young Dolph and Yo Gotti. When you from the same place and it's a lot where you can get into outside of music and your crews do other stuff outside of music, it's easier for it to spill over in the real street shit and not having anything to do with the artist. And I think that these guys have had issues for a long time and shit that don't even concern them, but concern people that are affiliated with them, and it spilled over to them not liking each other. Yeah. So I think that that's the problem, and the only way you're able to protect yourself from that is, I mean, you remove yourself from who you associate with, and I don't think that that's going to happen. So I don't see any thing moving forward that would protect
it's
things.
Simple. This is very, it's a very simple solution, because this also happened to Waka Flocka in April. His studio, the studio that he was in, was also the victim of a drive-by.
Was it in Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay.
So now let's look at these three incidents.
Yeah.
What's the common thread? Waka, YFN, and Offset. They all represent Atlanta, Georgia, and all of these shootings happen in Atlanta, Georgia. The one simple way to remedy this is to simply move. They got to move. That's the only – how many times have we kicked off a show with an RIP to a rapper who died in the area that they represent?
Man.
How many times has that happened? Do you know how many shots they let off at that fucking YFN, dude? It was like 60-some cases on the ground. Like, it's only a matter of time before somebody gets hit by that shit, and we're singing a different song at the top of this episode. Like, there's a common – what are you going to do, put a studio in a castle surrounded by a moat?
Nah, I mean,
they're not moving.
So – you at a certain point in time, what you put out here, you invite and shit like it. And I ain't saying that Lucci a bad dude or the Thug a bad dude.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We don't want to speculate that.
Either one of them had shot anything. Yeah, I'm just
Offset and Waka.
From what I've seen in the past.
He missed the Thug name for some reason.
I'm not sure why.
My bad. You're right.
I don't know.
With that being said, the people that you surround yourself with, whether you're in L.A., whether you're in Chicago, whether you're in Atlanta, those people are going to be doing other stuff outside of music. They're going to bring that to the studio. They're going to bring it to the hangout spot, and then that's going to spill over to other crews. So you can leave Atlanta. This shit can happen in L.A. This shit can happen anywhere.
Yeah, no, it just doesn't, though. It can. Because they're not there.
I think it's because it's who you have and who you invite around you. Like, Dreamville had a whole session down here. I didn't hear one shot go off. I think it's because of who J. Cole is and what he accepts of being around him. I think YFN Lucci willing to accept a lesser amount of people to be around him that still might be with the shit. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing with having them niggas around. But sometimes you got to pay consequences when that happens. I don't think J. Cole is acceptable of that.
J. Cole not from here. I'm specifically mentioning these three artists because this is their home.
I'm mentioning J. Cole because he recorded here, and this is where the shootings happened at. And what I'm saying is, the reason I mentioned him also is because you allow certain stuff to be around you. If I ain't allowing niggas that got guns and all this shit around me, then they ain't bringing none of the other dumb ratchet shit around me. I can be in L.A., Orlando, New York, wherever. If I don't allow that environment to be around me, then it ain't going to happen.
There's a precedence for it happening at home. There's no precedence for it happening in L.A. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but look at, it doesn't matter where you are.
Pac got shot in New York. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, look at Young Dolph. Young Dolph got shot in L.A.
That was in North Carolina. That he too. Shot up his shit in North Carolina.
And, he got hit in L.A.
And, and if we sat here and ran off the people that died in their own hood, we'd be here all day. So but y'all just named one and two examples.
Three. We just named three examples. But the point is, I think that if you you're surrounding yourself with that, then that's what's going to happen. I don't hear it happening in Drake studio sessions that have a lot of people. I don't hear him happening in Kanye West studio sessions. Shit, I don't hear him happening in Mozzie studio sessions. He a street nigga. We just talked about him beefing on here last week. I think it happens when you're surrounding yourself with people who still about their life.
Now, this is a history of stuff like this. This is nothing new to rap. And just like you said, I think if you in that lane of gangster rap and you have active beef, real beef, then these things happen.
So Waka, Offset, and YFN all have active beef.
Apparently so.
Apparently so. I swear I wouldn't be surprised.
You think they just randomly shooting at these people?
I don't know what's going on.
I swear I wouldn't be surprised. This ain't no random, bro, not random things. Like real beef right now.
They have active beef.
I have no idea what's going on.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, just think about it. Even, you know, look at Tip back in the day.
Right.
T.I. carried himself wild back in the day. And they was involved in some wild shit.
Right.
That's because of everything that was going on. They were thrown. I mean, that's just what it was. And they invited it.
Some people are able to create better when they're in an environment that they're more comfortable with. And most people are more comfortable with where they grew up with. They know where everything is. They can go swing by here to get the food that they like. They know where the weed man at. Like, they ain't got to, like, look and expose themselves to all the other stuff. And if you want to be, I feel like, productive, then you just can't up and move. You just can't take your whole operation.
And people do it all the time.
It costs a lot of money, dude.
Nah, it does. That's a fact. But people, it's an investment. People do it all the time.
And they feel like, okay, like, take people like Lil Bibby, for example. Or Rich Boy, and these are two people, or Freddie Gibbs. Right. These are three that I'm thinking up off the top of my head to try to up and go to L.A., and it washed them up. Like, y'all still think Gibbs is cool.
Freddie Gibbs is still,
he's still relevant. He's still rapping.
He can rap.
Rich Boy is nowhere to be found.
Now, Rich Boy, that's a fact. Now, he's out of there.
Or Lil Bibby.
Like, that's a fact.
I just feel like some people can go out there and get lost. It removes everything that made them that type of artist.
Yeah, because they want to be Drake and live in Calabasas. I'm not saying
that. You want them to go live in Hollywood, nigga?
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's a different argument. My whole thing is, if you're a gangster rapper, and somebody make you leave your city, that's going to...
That happens all the time. Chief, people leave Chicago all the... You wouldn't recommend somebody leave Chicago? Like,
no,
come on.
What you're saying is... you're saying they should move after something happens.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's saying if you gangster, that's a shot at you.
You're going to die. That's silly, bro. You're
a
rapper.
It's silly, you're right.
Your profession is a rapper. You file taxes at the end of the year as a rapper.
They don't think like that. You know that.
Right. They should.
Yeah, they absolutely should.
I mean, there's an area into which where you can say, yeah, they can, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, man going to run you out your own hood.
No, it's just best. It's a small place.
Look what happened to Mace.
Because look, it's not just you. It's the people that are around you. It's the publicist.
I get it.
It's your fucking producer. It's the people that ain't got shit to do with what this is about, and you're protecting your investment. They're no good to you if they're not here. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
I get you 100%, but you can't be a gangster rapper and somebody run you out your city.
Is YFN Lucha a gangster rapper?
No.
He talks that gangster shit? Mm.
He's a gangster rapper, dude. Nah,
he from the hood, though.
Bro,
that's what I'm saying. I understand that.
This man has videos with guns in the studio.
And I ain't hear the shit on Lou shit. Oh, please don't. But he from a certain ilk of Atlanta, like where it's real shit tied with him. So ain't no nigga finna be like, especially him and where he from, oh, I left Atlanta. Like, he ain't doing that.
And I didn't know he stopped messing with Wayne's daughter. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I ain't even know that.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't either, but I just thought it was interesting, though. Shit. Lou knew he followed Media Takeout.
Oh, God.
I followed Wayne, daughter.
Whoa.
Shout out Reginae.
Do you?
Creep God.
Yeah, oh, my God.
All right, moving on. We're going to keep it Atlanta. Future. He went viral for his birthday gift to Lil Future. The 5-year-old received a Rolex gift from dad. Now, the internet roasted Future Senior for giving his 5-year-old a Rolex. Now, my question is, was the criticism fair or foul?
Future Senior is crazy. That's wild. A crazy name, first of all.
That's wild.
I think Future is a lot smarter than people give him credit for. And I say that to say this is the whole troll thing that he plays into. He does this because he knows people will talk about it. If he throws a bounty bean party for Lil Future, like no one cares, it goes up and down in a day. People have been talking about this since Lil Future's birthday. Oh, he got him Rolex. Is it right? Is it wrong? How do you feel about it? This is how Future stays relevant. Future put out music every once in a while. He don't promo it. He really doesn't do interviews until this last one. Mm-hmm. And he'll throw a social media jab that's cryptic and you wonder what he's talking about every now and then. He eat this shit up right here. What can I do to overshadow the moment for my son's birthday? I'm going to give him a Rolex. I feel like that he knew exactly what he was doing. I don't think that people give him enough credit for being as smart as he is, even with the thing where they say that he talk about all drug rap and he don't do any drugs. I feel like that that's Future. That's the type of person that he is, and that's not bad, that's not good, but it's that's him.
Right.
And I feel like that he capitalizes off that, and he's going to continue to do so as long as he's able to play the game like he plays. So I don't think it was a bad thing that he got his son a Rolex, and I do think his son appreciated more than people believe that he did.
Yeah, I say this. First of all, I'm never going to be the person to tell somebody what to do with their own kid. I don't give a shit. All right. Like, it's not my kids. Have fun. I ain't got none. That's all you. You can buy him 10 Rolexes for all I care. Yeah. With that being said, though, is buying a five-year-old a Rolex overdoing it? Of course it is. And much like what people do for birthday parties for 1 and 2-year-olds, they're doing this strictly for themselves. Future did this so that he could say, I bought my son a Rolex when he was 5. Mm-hmm. This was 100% for Future's ego.
Yeah.
But the issue is, people do the same shit on a smaller scale that don't have Future's paycheck by throwing huge gigantic birthday parties for 2-year-olds.
All the time.
Does anybody in here remember their 2-year-old birthday party? Nigga, no. Nobody does. Nobody remembers that shit. You're only doing that for yourself and other parents, especially now in the social media age. You can put on there the dope-ass cake that you got, your cake better than your friend cake for their 5-year-old or 2-year-old.
Right.
So to go in on Future, I think, was unfair to answer the question. It's foul to go in on him like that. But I think people they did this not too long ago when Diddy had bought didn't he get him a Bentley for a graduation or something like that? One of them graduated high school and he bought him the big dog rolls or something. Right. And they would wear Puff out for that. Like, what did he do to deserve that? Dude, it's this levels to this shit.
But
you bought your son a Honda. This is Puff.
Right.
Puff buy a Honda to him in this situation is a Bentley. And who knows what the son did to deserve and all that. So that gets too deep in the shit that average people shouldn't give a shit about when it's concerning someone else's kids.
Exactly.
So people wilding on this issue right here. Yeah, like, this is don't nobody care,
it's
bro.
All you
yeah, miss- I think we'd agree. And I think an easier way for people to digest it would to be to look at it like what you want to do ultimately as a parent, in my opinion. Like you said, I don't have kids. But you want to provide a world for them in which they learn to appreciate stuff. And whether you're buying them a Honda or a Bentley or a Rolex, whatever tax bracket they in, you want them to appreciate what you're doing as a parent for them.
Right.
If it's throwing an extravagant birthday party or Sweet 16, it can be Future, like you say, buying a Rolex, but you want them to learn to appreciate that stuff because you're trying to build some character in them. So I don't like y'all said, I just don't see how people are so disgusted with it.
It's
like, come on.
It's a lot of social media hate on Future, period, especially when it comes to the whole Russell Wilson and Sierra shit. This is really dumb. Man, a lot of you people are miserable. What you don't know about a Rolex and a watch, you dumb fucks, is that actually after the baby gets older, it's an investment.
It
appreciates in value.
Yeah.
So it's no different than your mom buying a bond or a stock for you back in the day.
Yeah. God. That's a fair point.
Jesus Christ.
People not thinking like that.
It's an investment. A Rolex is an investment. They don't go down in price.
But to be fair, though, this was still all for him, though.
This was for the show.
That's American parents in general.
That's my point.
Yeah. Like, I'll take it a step even further. America's favorite stepdad, Russell Wilson.
Okay.
He posted the picture with him and Lil Future right there. And I said this in the group chat, and I throw it out here now. He was trolling in that picture. That picture was for him. He had his long post about, oh, I'm happy to be in your life, little Future, and this and that. But his hat was trolling. It said, make legacies, not moments.
Right.
Referring to, oh, you're going to give your son a Rolex. I'm going to give him something that I remember, and I'm going to do this long post about him. I think at the same time, Russell Wilson was doing that for Russell Wilson.
I don't know about that.
I think he played, just like Future plays into what people think of him, I think Russell Wilson does the same. I think it's on both sides.
Because I think
both
that Russell picture was taken before the birthday. So
it was taken before the birthday, but I think that was an ironic picture to choose. Like, he just had a birthday. Y'all got all these pictures y'all just took at the party, but I want to go way back to this one with this hat on. Come on.
I don't know.
And you're going to need some Icy Hot for your shoulder after that reach.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Fantastic.
I'm here for the hot takes, but I can back them up.
The reach takes.
My hot takes. Both of them were trolling.
Shout out to Future, though, man.
Shout out to Future, man. I wish my dad would have got me a Rolex when I was five.
Facts.
1,000,000%.
All right, man. Before we get to this music break, let's take it up top to the Shy. Vic Mensa, all right, the Chicago MC, has been relatively quiet. But last week it was announced that he has his own line of combat boots dropping with the Wolverine brand. Now, I know it's an old boot brand called Wolverine.
They make steel toe boots for like factory workers.
Exactly. Now, there's no word of any new music in sight for young Mensa.
This is what it's come to.
My question is, Vic has to be the most disappointing 20-something in the rap game right now, right?
He up there with Young M.A. Him and Young M.A. like are neck and neck.
And letting the world down.
Letting the world down. And Dave East bringing up the rear. Like, those three can drop an album called Underachievers, dude. Like, and I feel like the Vic Mensa had a very strong presence first out. He signed with Roc Nation, and then something happened, and he flipped. Like the Nine Shots project, when he was talking about the shooting of Laquan 16 McDonald.
Shots.
16 shots, excuse me. The shooting of Laquan McDonald in Chicago.
Yeah.
That was fire. It was creative. I think it got people to expecting something that he wasn't ready to fulfill. So he went this rock lane, and he thought that it was going to be cool, and it's not.
Yeah.
But these boots look just like him, though. Like, I could see going to a concert, and every nigga in there that fuck with him got these boots on, and he got these boots on.
Yeah, all
on
20
stage.
Of them.
Yeah, all 15 people. Right. All 15 people. The person at the door.
Listen, the boot collab makes all the sense in the world. He shaved his head. He's been rocking leather jackets ever since, no matter the weather, season, place, location. He's got the leather jacket with the zippers on, the fucking steel-toe boots. The collab makes all the sense in the world. Now, whether he's the most underachieving 20-something, first of all, he's 25 years old.
Under.
Came in the game, underachieving. Came in the game with the Roc Nation cosign, the Jay-Z cosign, the Kanye West cosign. It was a second where they were kind of battling, playing tug of war of what side he was going to fall on. So the expectations off top of that were sky high, especially from my perspective. Bro, he hasn't dropped a full-length project since 2017. Which is an eternity in rap years.
Yeah.
He dropped an EP that everyone forgot about as soon as it came out late last year. I don't know what the fuck, dude. Like, and he's cold, though.
Yeah, he can rap.
Bars, rap nigga. He can spit. He just dropped a rock song the other day that was like a remake of a Cranberries rock song, which is like a classic record. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. Like, I'm very confused at what Vic Mensa's doing, and he out here selling combat boots. Yeah, we're doing combat
this
boots?
Fit his brand, but you know what it is? I feel like when he was on Everyday Struggle, he came off as mad at academics, because everybody is, but like he just took it a lot worse for some reason.
Right. Well,
he touched a person. Academics touched a personal subject for him.
He did. He did, yeah. But there are better ways that could be handled. Vince Staple handled it better when he was talking about him. I think a lot of people handled it better. And to play back off Megan and the energy that she puts out there and looking like she's happy to be here, dude don't look like he like rapping. He comes off as being mad and like upset all the time, and it's just bad energy. Like, he ain't got good energy around him. Like, every time that I seen him out, he looking like mad and muggy. He got the leather on. He probably got them boots on that we talking about. Like, bro, don't nobody want to approach you. Like, no, nobody want to be around what you got going on if you got that nasty negative energy.
Well, it's weird to me about Vic Mensa, because like I said, he has so much promise. Like,
facts.
His album that came out in 2017 was a really good album, actually.
No, it wasn't.
His autobiography was good.
Yeah,
it was
no,
a good
it was
album.
It was trash.
No, it was trash to you. Vic Mensa can rap his ass off.
Yeah, absolutely.
That album was good. And then I used to follow him on IG, and I just started to see this turn from rapper to rock star. Like,
yeah,
bro.
Somebody told him
what
it worked.
The fuck are you? It's not like this 93 punk. The song he just dropped. Nobody wants to hear that shit.
Yeah, he's having an identity crisis right now.
I don't get it.
And it happens sometimes when people are really dope lyrically, they have identity crisis. They don't know which lane to go because it's hard for them to stick into it. Like King Los had the same problem.
Lupe.
They can do so much because they're talented on that end, but they don't know how to pick a lane and pick an identity and stick with it. So they jump from identity to identity.
Lupe never changed identity.
Yeah, that was he did start with the karate shit, though. I don't know what he was doing with that shit.
He did that in the beginning of his mixtape.
Then he grew dreads, then he cut them off. I don't know what
he has. He's blessed us with a classic album.
You're telling me from Kick Push to an album about a slave's journey from Africa through whatever on the slave passage is not an identity crisis?
No, he just got wiser. Kick Push, he was young as hell.
He was young.
That's too tall. Like,
but he's not changing identity though.
You just told me last week age didn't matter.
What are you talking
with,
about?
I'm
talking
Wayne.
About content.
But I think that the reason that I say Lupe and the reason that Vic Mensa struggles and the reason that the identity thing is real because you have to have a core fan base. And the reason why Lupe was mad that he wasn't doing it because his core fan base couldn't figure out what he wanted to do. Just like Vic Mensa. Can't nobody figure out what you want to do. Like you said, you were following him on Instagram. You're like, bro, what the fuck? And he ain't got no explanation for it.
No,
at least a nigga like Kanye got an explanation for it.
Yeah, Vic Mensa, I don't
tell
even
you
know.
About it. Like nigga, a nigga just look up one day and Vic Mensa got on all black looking like fucking the Crow.
Right.
Like bro, just, I don't get it, man.
Throwback 90s movie right there. That was cold.
Yeah, I don't.
I was going to go Sting NWO, but I don't know.
Nah, you want it with the Crow.
Niche.
Yeah, you want it. He does look like an extra from the Crow.
Tough.
And then this whole fucking, I just looked at his artwork for the last track he put out. It's like Marilyn Manson with fangs. Like, what the fuck? Like, bro, what the?
See, a real nigga got to be able to call him and be like, bro, what you doing?
Yeah, you a black kid from the cool. South Side of Chicago.
I thought he was cool with like
if he came out with like that,
what's,
been fine.
What's your boy name? Herbo? I thought he was cool with him.
G Herbo? He's cool with all of them.
He cool with them? Yeah. One of them called a nigga and be like, bro, what the fuck are you doing?
Some other shit.
That's a bad thing. You got to have a real nigga. They probably scared to call him too. Like, man, nigga probably want to fight you telling him to change clothes, nigga.
Yeah, he let me down. I was waving that Vic Mensa flag strong 2 years ago.
He need to go spend
I went to his show and everything down
he
here.
Can rap. He could really rap. Man, I remember the first time I heard that EP, What's Really Going On and all that. I was like, man, this nigga can rap.
He need to go spend like a month with Vince Staples. He need to just chill out with Vince Staples for like a month.
That's my nigga.
That'll help him out.
He be bodying freestyles too.
Vince Staples bodied that appearance in the Lil Nas X video. That was funny.
Vince Staples is hilarious. Uberly talented.
Super funny.
All right, speaking of talent, what we got for a song break, sir?
Yes, our first song break we have Tyler the Creator. It's called What's Good off of the new album that just dropped this past Friday. Tyler the Creator, What's Good?
Let's hear it. We are back. That was Tyler the Creator. What's good? What was good about
that
song?
Igor album.
Nothing. Nothing was good about it. Now he had some bars on there. I get Tyler Creator whole shtick.
I don't.
The outsider. Not normal. I want to be weird, but I can also rap. Black Eminem, stuff like that. I get it.
You didn't listen to this album then, did you?
I looked at it. I seen the cover. Turned away. No, I did. I did. I listened to the beginning of it. I listened to this track.
Yep.
And it's trash.
What?
I don't like it. It ain't for me.
I'll say this, though. And you probably need to run it from the top to get an idea. Because I'm not going to lie. If somebody would have just sent me this song, I probably would have been turned off by it.
Y'all talking about the context of the album.
Right. Because then you get an idea of the tone of what you're getting into.
Yeah.
With that being said, though, the album is a super vibe, though. Yep. Like, and it's some different shit. Mm. Luckily for me,
it looked like it's a vibe. Yeah, cover.
Exactly. But I'm not a fan of his rap voice. It irritates me personally. Mm. So the fact that he's going about this album a different way, it kind of reminds me of some Nerd, NERD type vibe to it.
For sure.
So I don't have to endure his voice, which I'm not a fan of, in that manner.
Endure his
in
voice.
That way, that's in that perspective, it works. The album is tough, but no, if I'd have just went in with the song, I'd have been like, bro, what is this? But the intro kicks the tone off for this album, and you see what the direction is, and it's banging. It's the second banging album in a row from Dude. I can't even front because that Flower Boy was slick banging.
And he has bars on this track if you listen to it.
He was rapping.
Not to be fair though, why can we say that Vic Mensa has an identity crisis because he's wearing leather jackets and shit, and Tyler the Creator has the Frankenstein?
He been like,
and he's half singing, half doing NERD Pharrell wannabe shit.
But that's his lane, weird.
Is it?
Like just weird. Yeah, he selected the weird lane. I'm gonna I'm gonna say I'm bisexual. I'm going to do all of this crazy, out-of-the-box, different stuff with my music. I'm just going to say different stuff. Like, I'm weird. And I think that he's just like...
He came in with a group named Odd Future. So there you go.
Definitely odd.
Yeah, and plus this is kind of more some art. When I see this, I think art. I think artistic. You know what I'm saying? I don't think necessarily like, oh, I'm going to start rapping like this and walk around like I'm Frankenstein every day now. But
you bring up a good point that I think we could probably delve into later at a later date, but it's hard for guys who are labeled as gangster, quote unquote, street rappers to get out of a street rapper, quote unquote, gangster box. Tyler Creator was never labeled that, so he can probably, you can really do what you want.
He can just move around.
Yeah, Kanye West, those people, they can really do what they want. But a Vic Mensa who came out sort of, oh, I'm from Chicago, this is drill.
He was never a gangster rapper, though.
I'm from Chicago, this is drill music, people look at me a certain way, so it's weird to come out and do rock stuff with me.
Yeah, it doesn't fit the narrative of Chirac and all that type of shit.
Yeah.
Because he did start on drill music, am I correct?
To a certain extent. But he was always a militant, like, rapper. Like
woke.
Yeah, woke rapper, exactly. Yeah.
All right, man. Let us know what y'all think about that Tyler the Creator on the Facebook group Rap Chat. Search that. Go find that. All right, now it's time to talk DJ Khaled, man. Father of Assad.
Father of Assad.
It came out. This is his 11th album. When DJ Khaled started, let's be honest, would you have ever thought he would have had 11 albums?
I can't
albums?
Believe it right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's wild. I probably can name 5 of them max off the top of my head. But you know how we get down when we take up about these reviews, man. We talk about expectations, initial thoughts, highlights, lowlights, and just a main takeaway from the album, and we end it with a rating. What were your expectations going into this Father of Assad?
Always with Khaled, I think big. What's the big records that are going to come together? Wild Thoughts was the last album, so I'm thinking, okay, there's a song for the summer on here.
Yep.
I'm going to get a new Drake bop. Maybe a sneak Kendrick verse, Big Sean gonna rip it, some Nas will be in there. You know, Khaled has always been able to bring people together, put together a big production, as most DJs are. DJ Drama did it, Clue used to do it, so Khaled's staying in that same vein, but doing it to a much larger extent. There's always a Jay-Z, Beyonce, Migos type of thing on his album. It's always a big vibe. I'm gonna get Justin Bieber, I'm gonna get Chance.
Right.
And that's what I was expecting from this album. That's what I thought that it was going to be. That's what I would have expected at this point, 11 albums in from DJ Khaled. So,
initial thoughts when you first heard it?
It wasn't big. Mm. It was a dud.
Oh, wow.
It was at mid-pack. It was not that loud. Like, and I'll get into the reason as to why I think that and the reason why it hit as a dud. I don't think that the Khaled call is the same anymore. So when Khaled hit a nigga and be like, I'm dropping second quarter, I want you to do the lead single, Drake like, yeah, you know what? I'm good. I'm cool. When Khaled dropped second quarter and he hit Kendrick up like, all right, bro, you ain't been rapping a while. Let me get that K-Dot, that mix on there. I'm good. Mm. I don't think that call registers the same anymore because people are selective with what they get out there now. If they're not controlling it on their social media, if they're not doing their own festivals, if it's not their album, I don't want Khaled, if I'm Drake and I'm on tour, being able to go around and do a whole media run off stuff that I put in on the album. At this point in time, 2019. 2017, it might have been okay. 2016 might have been okay. Previous times, it may have been okay. But I feel like the real estate is so valuable in hip-hop at this point that people aren't giving Khaled the love that he used to see, and we're seeing the effects of that on this album.
Yeah, I say going into it, I actually had no expectations for this album because I totally forgot that it was due. He really didn't start promoing it until the week of. He didn't drop any new singles until the day of, you know what I'm saying? So I really didn't have an expectation, didn't really know what to expect. But I'm actually glad he was laying low. Those 11 albums have come in the span of 13 years, so he hasn't taken much time off. And we needed a break from Khaled. The fans, the culture needed a break. He's a huge personality. People can only take but so much before it wears thin on people. And when I listen to this album, it was typical, typical hit or miss. He does swing for the fences, I'll give him that. He always kind of gives you those interesting combinations of artists that gets you the excited to look at the track list. We didn't have that this go round. He did have some strength, some nice combinations. You got Cardi and 21 together.
21.
You've got, of course, obviously Nipsey and John Legend together. Nas and CeeLo. Like those are, when you see those on paper, you're like, okay, like you're amped to see what that shit is hitting on.
Right.
And this one didn't really land the first go-round. I will say second, third listens, okay, let me not be so hard on Khaled. Actually, the records as standalone records are actually pretty straight. It's just not cohesive to me. They just sound like individual records, and I think that is what is making his sound wear thin on people.
I think cohesion should be his thing at this point, though. You 11 albums in, Khaled, I don't think that, and I'll tell you why I think people are being selective with their usage for Khaled as far as giving him verses and stuff now, because Khaled is no longer looked at as just a guy that coordinates this and brings together. He a star now. Like, he's hosting stuff. Khaled coming out presenting stuff. So he ain't just this is my guy, the DJ. Right. I can throw Khaled a verse anymore. He's a threat. Now, instead of calling me for this deal, they may call Khaled for this deal. Right. So I think that people look at it that way, and he's he taking the effect of that.
That's funny. That's real, though.
I look at it the opposite direction. I think you're not turning out a Khaled call. I don't think he called Drake and Drake said no. I don't think called Kendrick and Kendrick said no.
I do, because otherwise they would be like, just look back at his last album, like the first, like coming out the gate, like what you were saying as far as the track list. Man, you had J&B, Future, Bryson Tiller, Rihanna. These are like the first five songs. All of this stuff is like, it was heavy on star power, and I feel like that if he were able to still do that, this is the album to do it. This is the father of Assad. This is when you do it. And I'm just expecting more at this point, like outrageous, like just big, and it's not big.
Well, I think Khaled has his pulse on the culture. And if you look at the features, every artist on here is a current hot
artist.
Big artist.
He got some names on here.
You know what I'm saying?
He got names.
He's a hot artist. I mean,
I do feel like they're hot artists. I don't feel like they're competition for him, though. I feel like the hot artists that are competition to him denied his request.
I
feel like Drake is his competition. K-Dot's his competition. Sean don't feel like he competition yet. He still got to get on here and perform. Cole get on here because he said, hey, I'm airing niggas out anyway. So you want a verse, you got it. But
I'm surprised Cole wasn't on here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So as far as like the top tier of the game, that I just think that they look at Khaled as competition.
But to be fair, though,
we don't, as an entertainer.
But to be fair, we don't need a carbon copy of each of the same damn. Like, I don't need the because then it really gets stale. You got the Drake record every time. You got the J&B every time. Then it's like, no. Yeah. What I do think was interesting is why it took so long to come out. Top Off came out in March of 2018, dude. That was a single for this album. The joint with Chance and the No Brainer, that came out in July of 2018. Yeah. It's a full year later, and that shit is just now on this record. That comes to one of my lowlights, too. It makes the record sound dated. Like, Jay is on there talking about Free Meek. Like, bro, why are we listening? And then the one with Chance and all the No Brainer, that sounds just like You the One with
I thought it was the same song.
That's one with Bieber it's the same record.
I don't know why those two songs are on this album, man.
Dude, because he's trying to get the streams numbers. Up. Yeah, they trying to get the streams.
I throw that on there, Platinum Off the Week, it can't fail.
Yeah. He gonna go number one because of that.
What we mean is when you put a song on an album that already has surpassed platinum streams, that gives the album platinum status or somewhere close to it. That's the way you don't have to perform as you would if that song wasn't on there. So, of course, you're going to throw those two lives on it.
Yeah, I was upset to see those two songs, for sure.
That was a disappointment.
That's what they're
going to
do.
I was like,
cheat code. That's what y'all
like. Absolutely. Streaming cheat code.
Like, I just expect, I don't know, I guess I should just expect bigger. And I wanted to touch a little bit on what they were saying, how he manipulated the Nipsey Hussle situation. I don't think that that's true. I think that people, like you said, are growing tired of DJ Khaled, so they were looking for anything to almost trying to get him out of here.
Of course.
These are the same miserable people.
I think that he would have pushed this Nipsey song regardless if he had been
fortunate. Of course, it's Khaled.
Yeah, and I think that would have been the lead single regardless. But what I do think, if it were a circumstance where he was the powerful Khaled that he were when I was speaking of, I think that he could have went bigger or would have went bigger on that song. Like, trying to get... If I'm trying to get a Beyonce and a Jay-Z, maybe trying to put them on that song, pump that song up to that level, make it big. Because if you're pumping it for the summer, the John Legend and Nipsey, that's good and that's cool, and I'm not taking anything away from it. It's probably my favorite song on there. But if I'm Khaled and I want to make a splash, why not try to just, like y'all said and what we said before, like, when he was making songs like I'm So Hood, there were seven people that we wasn't expecting on that song. Like, they was doing big stuff that we weren't used to. So why not try to get B to saying that what Jay is saying? And why not try to get a vocal from Jay on there? Why not try to get, fuck it, some old Pac or Big stuff and put it on there as well?
Nah, you're really trying to take
doing
nah,
too much?
That's doing too much.
That's yeah, big, man. Though. That's what I want from Khaled, though. Like,
if you think people clout chasing now, bro, if you to put Pac
true,
on there.
But what I'm saying, it may sound outrageous to this point, but I think it fits into the brand of DJ Khaled. And if you try to do stuff like that and you succeed in doing it, it may sound nasty to you right now, but if it's done well, it fits DJ Khaled brand. And you would see that and be like, okay, damn, he freaked that for a song of the summer. Like, I don't expect to see Chance the Rapper and what's it? Justin Bieber and those guys and Quavo on a song together, but he did it and it made sense for DJ Khaled.
I'm
not saying grasping at the blue and doing the shit like Eminem did with the Pac vocals, but if I could do something that makes sense and get it to sound good with the Nipsey, Pac, and Big, that's something that I would expect Khaled to do. That's a big shot or a big thing that I would expect him to do.
First of all, let's not act like this album isn't full of A-listers. Like, you're talking like Ace Hood is on here, dude. Right. No shots to Ace Hood. But come on now. Like, it's a who's who, bro. Travis Scott, Post Malone,
Cardi,
SZA. These are A-listers.
Other than the Cardi and 21 Savage song, the rest of the songs, the A-listers that y'all talk about sound like throwaways.
Imagine
having Post Malone and Travis Scott on a song and it sounded like that. No, that's not a hit.
You're wrong. I think you're wrong.
That's a hit?
It sounds like a soundtrack song.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
You see what I'm saying? It sounds like a soundtrack song.
If I hear Travis Scott and Post Malone, I'm thinking, well, this is going to be played for a long
time. Out of the park.
Similar celebration or something like that. But it's like, all right, that's cool. Like, I feel like they just gave him something because he was DJ Khaled and they still taking the calls. I think the big dogs are not. Y'all are right. There are A-list artists on here, but they aren't A-list efforts. Bro, like, that sounds like an old Ross verse. Jeezy verse might be old. He ripped it, though. Don't get me wrong, but I don't hear anything new on here other than probably 21 Savage and Cardi stuff and the people like the dance hall stuff.
No, I think you come on.
Big Sean was killing. Thank you with Big Sean. With the exception of Big Sean, he's killing this album as well.
So you named a couple joints that you fuck with. Are those most of your highlights? What did you rock with about the album?
What I rocked with about the album is the effort that Khaled still tries to do big. I think, like I say, the calls were declined for the big dog, so he made best with what he had. I don't think that people are as willing to give over stuff. So I think that Khaled did the best. I think the reason that it was delayed because he's experiencing unusual stuff with putting it together, like what I'm referring to, not being able to get the things done that he needed to do. With that thought process in my mind, I think that he was able at least to put together a good enough album for the time period. Had this been last year around this time when there was a lot of competition, this would have got washed out. But since it's quiet and it's DJ Khaled, it's sufficient for right now.
I think if I was to look at the highlights of what worked, I think, like I said before, the pairings still work. I thought Wayne and Gunna, Jeezy and Ross, Meek and Baby, that there's still a level of excitement when it comes to those track lists. Even, like, think about it. When you look at the track list and you see, dating back to a couple of his albums ago, you see Holy Key with Kendrick, Big Sean, and Betty Wright. You're like, what the fuck? Like, I got to hear that. Like, that's a moment. You know what I'm saying? And I was looking for more of those, but they are still on here. It's a little bit for everybody on here where you can at least look and go, okay, that's an interesting pairing. Okay, cool. There's a couple of moments on here. I also think the deep cuts work. He's known for the big singles, the big grand home runs. But in this instance, they took a back seat. Won't Take My Soul, Higher, Thank You. I think all of those work. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, the deep cuts worked on here. If I had to go what I didn't like, bro, there's too many familiar samples on here, dog. Like, that's one thing. Like, a lot of people use samples, but they're digging in the crates and shit, and it's not easily recognizable. We could have went another 10 years before we heard a Miss Jackson sample, I swear to you. That is an abomination, dog. That song is too... We're not too far removed from it being played 24 hours a day on the radio and on TV. Like, that needs some more time, dog. Like, that's a cheat code I bet sounded good in the studio through studio speakers, but it's just, bro,
do something like... Put somebody that you always maybe wanted to hear on that Miss Jackson beat. Like, I wouldn't have been mad if you were able to find a Kendrick or Jay, somebody from TDE.
That's subjective.
To pair with SZA.
Yeah, that's subjective. That's a personal preference.
That's what you want to hear. Like,
didn't nobody rap on it. Somebody sung on it, which made it different.
I'm not saying that's what I want to hear. I'm thinking that it would have made more sense if you're trying to make a bigger splash. Like, if I want to use the Miss Jackson beat, I'm not going to put SZA on there. Like, I'm going to use SZA because she's a big name.
I'm going to
come out, and I'm going to put a rapper on there.
No.
Like, I need something to make that song bigger other than SZA.
It's not
going to
be as big as Miss. It's never going to be as big as that.
It's new, but there are new people that are listening to the radio.
Exactly.
Bro.
That's fair. Like, no, that's
it's
fair.
People that ain't heard Miss Jackson, that the age group that DJ Khaled is looking for.
No, and that's.
If you put that SZA on that beat with Kendrick Lamar or J Rock or somebody else from TD, shit, you could put Isaiah Rashad on that and it would have went up.
Yeah, it'd be trash.
I think I'm looking at it completely opposite from how you look at it. First of all, this is the biggest Khaled's ever been in his career. Number one.
You could argue that.
So when you're saying Khaled like he used to be or something, I don't get people turning him down. I don't get him not being who he is. I think this album, he just wanted something different. Mm. He wanted a different sound. He wanted to, like you said, the deep cuts, the introspective cuts.
Those work.
All of those work. Yeah. The song with Meek and Lil Baby was a great pairing.
That's fire, even though that's a familiar sample too. Yeah, that bothered me just a little bit. Was that Beanie?
Yeah.
Somebody used that and fucking demolished it.
Yeah.
I think that was Beanie.
Yeah. But I'm not mad at it. And then I love that he gave, of course, to all our reggae fans. I love, you know, Buju Banton just got out. I love that he put him on a couple of records. So I like how Khaled tried to paint broad strokes and include everyone. It might not hit out the park like some of his past albums, but I'm not mad at it.
I won't disagree that this is the biggest that he's been. I think it kind of plays into my theory that him being big makes him a threat. Therefore, I'm not working with you like I usually would.
Now, I just wouldn't expect every time for him to come out to have the same people on that. He's got to switch it up.
I don't think
if that's not even a call on them, he's got to switch it up.
I think if he could, he would.
I don't think Drake and Kendrick are worried about DJ Khaled being a threat.
And Drake isn't worried about anybody being
Drake
a threat.
And Kendrick ain't the ones that are signing off on the verses, though.
But
I'm speaking from a label perspective and like just a brand overall. Those guys are in competition when you're speaking of a sponsorship, when you're speaking of commercials for the Super Bowl and big features and big placements. Those guys are all on the same level, in my opinion.
Ultimately,
if we're battling for those different things outside of rap, I'm not going to give you my platform or I'm not going to use what I do well to enhance your platform.
I don't think anyone's
bigger. I think that's how
Drake
people are looking at it.
Yeah. He done
it's no one, it's yeah, no one bigger than Drake.
I get what you're saying.
Because he keeps that to himself.
Now, Drake has featured on a lot of crap artist songs. Let's think
about
it.
They're not a threat.
No threat. Drake has never featured with a threat.
Whoa,
I can blow you up.
Whoa.
Who's a threat to Drake that he's been featured
with? Well, I mean, when you're at the top.
He's only got a couple. You're
right.
Yeah, Kendrick.
He's done Kendrick.
Sean.
He's been on
Kendrick. He won't do a song with any of them now.
I'm not viewing Khaled as a threat to anybody.
That's fine. But you don't work at a label either.
No, I'm saying, but how I don't see the threat. You saying marketing dollars and all this. All those artists that you named.
You said he's big, right? This is the biggest he's ever been.
But all those artists that you named have their own lane. They all have marketing dollars already.
I see what you're saying.
It's no way that Khaled.
They have their own lane outside of. They have their own lane within hip hop. Outside of hip hop, when you're talking to Kroger, big brands, or AT&T. They're all hip-hop artists to them. It don't matter if it's DJ Khaled, Kanye West, J. Cole, Drake. To them, if I'm Sprite, all of those five people are the same to me.
I get your analogy.
So if I work for Universal, if I work for Def Jam, absolutely those people are competition with me. And no, you cannot have this verse when you call to get it cleared.
Maybe next year.
I don't want that.
Maybe next year.
Yeah,
if I had to give it a rating, I would say I'd give it 3 reels good worth streaming. It was a little better. After the first 2 or 3 listens, it did grow on me, and I'm listening to Whip. I'm like, okay, I can hear this going up at the day party in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? Like a couple of these joints are gonna go up. I can't flex. You know what I'm saying? So it's some good joints, man. It's good worth streaming. You know what I'm saying? It's not trash. People are kind of killing it, calling it trash. And I'm like, relax, it's not that deep.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call it trash. I would say it's 2.5. It's some little cool.
Mm.
It's definitely a mid pack. So I'd go with 2.5.
Yeah. I can respect that.
I give it 3.
Three.
Yeah,
I will say this before we hit this music break. I did have a takeaway, and I think he needs to take heed with his next project with this. The same way Kendrick put together that Black Panther soundtrack, I believe that
He can do that.
Khaled needs to take that approach and give it some more cohesion. Like, have it themed with the title of the album. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's had the big record. He's got enough of those to last a lifetime. Do one passion project where it's actual cohesive body of work, and you can, and Khaled, because Khaled should have a classic.
Let Votto rap on it.
Don't let Votto. I fuck with Votto, but he don't. No, early on Khaled, yes, but Khaled should have a classic album with the Rolodex access in his phone. Had, that's what I'm saying, and the access to producers and artists. He's got. I think Kiss the Ring is probably his best work, but I just feel like he should be in a bigger space in terms of quality of project, dog.
So, well, let me ask you this then: do you feel like this is near the end of the road, and there's someone coming up that's going to be able to do what he Drama Clue did? Because
Mustard creeping.
Mustard's
creeping, because he can produce as well. So he's got a little bit of a cheat code, you know what I'm saying,
about,
with that.
Don't, but Southside, doesn't he have an album? Am I
he's
wrong?
Metro Boomin?
Metro Boomin got an album. No, some more producers got an album.
Metro Boomin album was actually very good.
Yeah, too. Metro Boomin got some
so
shit.
So those would be the ones that are coming up.
But trying. They don't have the personality that Khaled. Khaled's a salesman.
Yeah, it's a different.
They don't have
it's
that.
It's a marketing. True.
Yeah, he can put out there and be the face of it. That's why it works, but he can be the mascot for his own product. But Metro Boone and them, if they walked in here right now, half of us wouldn't know who he was. You know what I'm saying? Just because he's a usually producers stay behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? So it's no knock. It's just that Khaled found a lane, mastered it, got big on Snapchat, saw that shit worked, and he can sell himself. You know what I'm saying? It works for him. Y'all let us know what y'all think about that Khaled 11th album. God damn, that's wild. Yep. Father of Assad.
Yep.
Go
to the rap chat. Put your rating in there. What do you give it? 1 through 5 reels?
Absolutely, man. What music break we got?
We have a newcomer by the name of Stunna for Vegas.
Ooh, 4 times. That's my guy.
Featuring the baby. The song is called Ashley.
Let's hear it.
Got my young nigga rich in 6 months. Play with me, get the shit no bust. Cap. I'm on the tour bus, get my dick sucked. Buy a bitch with a big butt. Yeah. I like my hoes to be freaks. Nash. Fuck all they going to sleep. Smash. They like to wear the same thing like they twins. Don't tell me your name, bitch. I'm calling you Ashley. The other one, Mary Kate. I'm a nigga who started in Section 8. Hey. Shout out to my mama. She got a vibe. Come touch me without dying. I highly die. You know I'm on site with this shit. Sight. Lose a fight, I get life in this bitch. Yeah. You know I ain't letting that slide. I don't pay them no mind when they typing this shit. Let's go.
He probably mad. Cause big 4 times. Let's let him put pipe in his bitch. All one night, ain't no liking a bitch. Ain't no typing, no fighting, I'ma strike me a bitch.
Come
yeah,
on.
I make her eat the whole clip. Little freak, she sucked the whole dick. I have a whole wide open. She like this little nigga, standing controller. Standing the one I'm chosen. Yeah, and I'm on my stick. Poke, play, Leah shit split. Oh, put this all in the sky. Get sick, float. Phew. That shit, they keep bogus. Act up my jit smoke. Gang. I'm waiting on a nigga to trip on me. I'ma just empty the clip on me.
Cross your boy out, hit a lick on him. Stick a tongue out of mouth, put my dick on him.
All right, man, we are back. That was Stunna for Vegas. How you feel about that? Ashley is the name of the record.
That's banging. The baby continues to kill snapping. Shit. Snapped on that. I like this verse. Dude got good voice control. Great. Like he gonna come with it this year.
That's a fact. I said that 8 months ago, so you're late. shout out to the baby.
To you when you say
nah, dude be snapping. Yeah. And like you said though, his voice is commanding. So yes. When he gets on the track, yes. Like it's very distinct. And he owns it, and his flow is precise.
Yeah.
But I fuck with Stunna for Vegas, too. I listened to that project. He's actually signed to DaBaby via Interscope. So he's a young boy out of Charlotte. Shout out to Charlotte, North Carolina, in the building. But his project is cool. The Queen production kind of weak, though.
Yeah, DaBaby out here making moves, man.
He hot right now. If they were doing a round table today, and we may save this for another episode now that I sit here and think about it, but if we talk about hottest rappers right now, he's got to be talked about.
Yeah,
the baby and Megan Thee Stallion.
You and Megan Thee Stallion, Jesus Christ.
Shout out to the ladies, man.
She's not even the hottest out of Houston.
Me too, extra.
Right now she is. Right now she's definitely the hottest out of Houston.
Travis Scott. All right, now, before we get out of here.
Missouri City.
We're going to hit these booking prices. We haven't done one in a long time. If you're new to the show, welcome, first off.
Appreciate you, 300 in.
Absolutely. We like to go to this particular booking agency. We won't reveal their name in case they're fugazi. But they have prices for artists, and we like to go down the list and trip and see who is getting paid for what for a show. What would it cost you if you wanted to throw something in your city? Number one on this list is mind-blowing.
Got to be wrong.
Little Pump at $175,000 a show.
It got to be two Little Pumps.
This got to be a misprint.
It has to be a misprint.
It's got to be a misprint.
Is that supposed to be like Lil Wayne?
It got to be something else.
More famous Lil that we...
Other than this, Lil Baby on here for 100. So are you biting?
That's it. Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, QC. Actually, Megan Thee Stallion, I think, gonna be with QC here, not two. That's one of my predictions. I think they're gonna swap
up. 300, yeah. 300,
300 already got.
There's no way.
They not letting her go.
QC gonna swap in on the
100,000 for Baby?
Absolutely. He got anthems.
Y'all niggas tripping.
Little Gucci Man, I'm not paying 100,000 for.
Gucci right Man for 100?
I'm not paying 100,000.
No. Listen.
80? 70?
You can put your ticket to 100 when you call yourself the best rapper alive as Gucci Man does. Like, you paying for the whole thing.
But nobody
like
wants
the Instagram.
Nobody believes
you. No, nobody. He believe it. Keisha believe it. Like, that's all he needs.
Blueface on here for 45,000. How much of that is Birdman and Wack getting?
They might let him keep a little show money.
45, they getting 41.
Oh, my God.
That's absolutely the truth. Y'all know it is. They definitely splitting that 21-20.
How is August Alsina on the list?
He getting 45,
people
apparently.
Booking him?
Boost his price drop, 4,000.
40,000.
Oh, excuse me, 4,000. I mean, 40,000, you're right.
He getting the same as DaBaby. They got DaBaby as 40. I don't know about that either.
That stock is rising.
But not rapidly. 40, though. If you DaBaby called him...
The baby getting 40.
If you call him right now with 25, you telling me they're not taking
that? No.
He's showing up.
What?
You're getting in touch with the right nigga, you're getting 40.
They're showing up to that, bro. If it's listen.
40 is actually low for the baby right now.
Bro, y'all niggas playing Monopoly money.
Where?
The fuck?
In what market
I gotta
is that
think
low?
About inflation.
What market is that low in? You know
40?
That.
40? Bro, the baby getting more than 40.
I ain't biting.
Okay.
Soulja Boy getting 17.5.
He's getting nothing.
He's getting nothing.
He's in the clink. He might be getting something right now. But
oh, man.
Pause.
Juvenile getting 17.5.
Is he? Huh? Would you get Juvenile for 17.5?
Yeah. He just dropped 3 new songs. He did a whole project, right?
You gonna make your money back?
Hold up.
He can do Back That Ass Up. You can call it a Back That Ass Up party featuring Juvenile, and boom,
that's true,
bro.
Got your 17.5 back,
bro. They have the Brat on this list. Why?
She can do a radio. Man, somebody
who is paying the Brat 12.5 for the Brat?
She can MC something tough.
She can host something for 8.
Maybe it's hosting. It gotta be.
She can hold Cameron on here for 12.5. That's not bad though.
See, y'all this know? Is why I don't think about this list. This list has some people
y'all giving
twice on this list.
Y'all giving light skin Keisha 15?
I don't know who that is.
The
light skin Keisha
girl
hard.
Off Instagram?
I don't know who
she
that
can rap.
I know Keisha. The one record that she had on satellite radio, but I don't know who she is.
Yeah. NBA YoungBoy getting 85 is crazy to me.
The fuck out of here!
But he's probably the most popular young rapper. They put up the stats.
He's him and Kodak.
Yeah, they put up the stats on YouTube. He like has no, he's number one streaming under. Like,
I'm calling bullshit on this list, man.
I believe it.
They have some person named YK Osiris.
You know, he got a hit on the radio right now.
They got him on here twice though. One for 12 and one for 15.
All right, well,
depending
look,
on which day.
Yeah, depending on where you at
he
and
got
which
a
day
hit
of the
on
week.
The radio.
He does have a hit on the radio.
Oh,
though.
That's the dude who
worth it.
Who got
he got a hit.
They shot at him. Didn't they shoot at him somewhere?
I mean, I have no idea. No face, no case on that.
I'm
subject.
Impressed that Tiger's able to stay at the top of this list.
Tiger,
how much?
Every time we pull this up, he's around the top, and this time he's on here for 100,000.
That's how he gets paid.
100? All right, now this list might be some
Tiger,
bullshit.
Tiger performing in Vegas, he getting paid.
Right. I mean, that's because it's Vegas. They pay everybody, though.
You're going to defend Tiger? But now you were shitting on everybody? As
Tiger has hits.
100,000?
He ain't got 100,000 worth of hits,
I ain't giving
though.
That nigga 100,000 to do nothing.
That nigga sitting at the crib. His phone is quiet.
Nah,
with 100,000.
Tiger's on the road right now. Collecting that bag. Now, this goofy-looking motherfucker we got on the screen, he ain't getting 175,000.
Does the City Girls price double when JT get free?
Yes, facts.
So it's going from 45 to 90.
I mean, they got to pay them. They got to pay them, man.
First of all, they're going for 45. Who is how much is – first of all, who's booking just one of them for 45?
They are booking them, though.
For 45?
Young Miami getting booked.
Yeah, Young Miami doing shows by herself.
Not for 40 fucking five is what I'm saying.
QC get the other 20. She get 25.
Yeah, you talking about Chain Little, but she spent some change on it.
She'll beat you like you up, baby.
The fact that y'all know bars is mind-blowing.
That is one of the fuckers.
City Girls.
Yeah, City Girls is hot.
Comedians on here as well, guys. If you want to book a comedian, Cat Williams, 425,000.
I believe it.
Really?
Yeah.
His phone quiet like Soulja Boy.
Nah, because when people – no, I've been
like
to a Tiger. Cat Williams
comedian
show.
Comedian shows are yeah. One, they the ticket's high. And two, yeah, I could see that because out of that 120, he got to pay the open acts.
Okay, that's fair.
So he
and they got models and hosts on here. I need to sign up.
That's what I'm saying, man. So, look, hey, guys, y'all let us know who y'all want to get in y'all city. Send us these 100 bands and we'll make it happen.
Big facts.
Yeah.
DC Young Fly, 11.5, that's a bargain. I'm going to get him to do a comedy show, sing.
11.5 ain't bad.
That ain't bad for DC Young Fly.
That ain't bad. You can fill up a little spot with
I'm
that.
Clearly in the wrong fucking business.
Obviously.
Contact me now for booking. I'll be there. I'll be there.
Absolutely. On Deck of the Week this week is Every Fucking Body.
Appreciate y'all.
Episode 300, 6 years in the game. That shit is bananas. Shout out to everybody if you day one or if you just got put on last week. I don't give a shit. Everybody in between, shout out to y'all. Everybody listening right now is an On Decker. Thank you for the iTunes comments, the YouTube comments, all of that shit. Likes, retweets. We appreciate that shit.
We appreciate the people rocking since day one, 6, 7 years in. We appreciate the people rocking even before then. And we appreciate the people that just picked us up now. We plan on bringing you a lot more content and being able to do so by you tuning in, rating, subscribing, liking, coming to the events, continuing to like the shows and all that good stuff. We appreciate what you guys do. Show us that you appreciate what we do.
Absolutely, man. New music, what we got?
You know, we got that YG coming out this week.
Quiet for him, bro.
Yeah, 400.
It's quiet for
him. For real, it's quiet because you're a hater.
Nah, that song he put out. That song he put out is trash, bro.
Which song?
Who was that on that? Ty Dolla? Who was on that, his new little single?
You've been a slicker YG hater for the last few weeks.
Nah, but that single is not good. That's not a good song, bro.
Man, hey. 400.
Him and Tyga.
This album is called For Real, so I'm looking forward to that.
Garbage.
Live Fast and Die Whenever, Suicide Boys and Travis Barker.
Skip.
What?
And some Chris Ulrich, Out to Sea.
Skip.
So YG is the
nothing
biggest
comes
release.
Out this week.
YG is the biggest release.
Mm. Now, and actually, you still got some heat that came out last week, like we said, Megan Thee Stallion and Currency and
Static
Selector.
Static Selector is
fire.
On roll.
This one of Currency's best projects in years. And I'm not even saying that as if he hasn't put out heat. He's been putting out heat.
You're a big Currency fan, though.
No, but he's
every
been
time
consistent.
He come out, you are surprised at how good it sounds.
I am. So. Because every time he comes out, I'm thinking he's mailing it in,
Currency
and he's not.
A rapper. Yeah, he is. He's a good rapper.
That album is fire, nigga. And, of course, Tyler, the Creator with Igor.
Yeah, new Ty Dolla $ign come out this weekend, too.
Does it?
That's what the J. Cole single was for.
Oh, the singles.
The album's supposed to come out this weekend.
Oh, I hope so. I'm definitely looking forward to Ty Dolla $ign project. All my R&B people. Speaking of R&B, shout out to Ari Lennox. Her album is amazing.
Shea Butter Baby.
Yeah.
You ain't like that?
Nah, I ain't do nothing for
I ain't
me.
Even big on R&B. I like that.
I like
her little style. Her
style. Her voice is old. It's a throwback voice. It's very sultry. I love that
sultry.
She. Yeah, I love that she keeps it. Any R&B album with a woman and his parental advisory sticker on it, I'm all for the album. And she knocks it out of the park. She has a wonderful voice. Shout out to Dreamville.
Spoken like a true perv. Yeah,
100%.
What you got on deck
it's
for
a perv
the
god, Animal Brown.
It's true.
What you got on deck?
I'm hollering my guy Scoops. He coming in town, man. Go check out a football scrimmage, man.
Shout out Scoops.
Yes, hopefully that's some good action I get to see this weekend. What you got up?
Not shit. I'm chilling. I'm low key this weekend. I'm waiting on you to hit the golf course, dude.
Oh, let's go.
I got my J's. I'm ready.
You don't do shit all day. We can do that tomorrow. We can do that tomorrow.
I got my J and my Jordan
gloves
cleats.
Are in the trunk.
I'm ready.
Best man carrying trunk. Well, washed for sure.
Yeah, and make sure what you got on deck.
I'm actually going to Miami this weekend.
You want to thot it up?
Rolling Loud?
No thot, huh?
He told us, though.
You're a week late.
He spent like 6 minutes telling us how bad
Memorial Day in Miami was. You definitely don't want to do that, buddy.
Yeah, my arm got – I don't sound like that no more. My arm got twisted for sure. I will be going, though. Hopefully, I do roll some loud while I'm in Miami.
Fair enough.
For sure, yeah.
Badoom-ting.
Yeah, shout out to CC.
Absolutely, man. Hey, listen, again – 300 celebration, June 15th.
Episodes, man. Thank you to everybody.
Absolutely. June 15th, 3 o'clock. Look out for those invitations. Hit us up if you want one. We're going to have a good time, all right? We might have a giveaway or two. Got something to eat, something to drink.
Some swag.
We're going to kick it.
Come out, Atlanta, for
celebrate
sure.
Celebrate 300, entering into the new realm.
Absolutely, man. Nigga, we made it. We'll see y'all next week. We out.
We out.
Peace.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.